What is up, my fellow limpers? This is your host, Jordan Ross, and thank you for listening to another episode of the What's Your Limp podcast. Now, today I am chatting with filmmaker Spencer Cook. Now, Spencer is a wheelchair user who has muscular dystrophy, and he is a first-time actor, director, producer, and writer with his new film, Act of God, which won the Audience Award at South by Southwest in the Texas Short Film category. And I can say firsthand, as someone who's seen the film, how good it is. It's so, you know, we talk a lot about it in this episode, but he did such a good job not only portraying what it's like to live with a disability and all of the internal struggles that come with that, but also just as a first time, you know, filmmaker and actor, I was blown away by his talent. You know, in front of the camera, the things he was doing were so nuanced and layered and complex and deep. And then behind the camera, it was the same thing. He made some really, really great artistic choices in terms of, you know, where he wanted the camera and in his editing and all sorts of stuff, the music choices, everything. I was just really, really impressed with Spencer. And I genuinely think there are big things ahead for him. And that's exciting because we need more actors and filmmakers with disabilities to kind of lead the charge and, you know, show the industry that the disabled community is just as capable as anyone else. And if they're not willing to give them a chance, they're missing out on some really, really good storytelling. Anyway, Spencer and I talked about his new film, Act of God, as well as his upbringing, his background, and what he's wanting to do next. So I'm going to shut up and jump right into the episode. Now enjoy this original intro music by Devin Levi. Give him a follow at Devin Levi Music. And here is my conversation with filmmaker Spencer Cook. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm good.
You've had an eventful couple of months.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's been very, very fun. I've never done any, you know, show business type stuff ever before. And yeah, it's been really nice. South By was really great. I met a lot of really cool people. And some people to collaborate with. And it's been going really well.
That's awesome, man. I do want to talk more about, you know, your film and the industry and what's next and everything. But before that, I always just kind of start like, what was, you know, your childhood like? Where'd you grow up? Did you have any siblings?
So I grew up in Corpus Christi. I have one brother. My childhood, it was pretty good overall. My parents were really supportive. My mom was actually a special ed teacher. And so she was really active and sort of getting me involved in normal, classrooms, because at that point in time, there just wasn't the advocacy and the sort of like awareness that kids with disabilities should be integrated into classrooms as much as possible. So yeah, she was like a very early fighter for that. And I enjoyed a relatively normal childhood. As far as my disability goes, I have something called spinal muscular atrophy, which is a genetic sort of thing, a form of muscular dystrophy. And I haven't ever been able to walk or anything like that. I think I got my first electric wheelchair when I was maybe like 5. I was very, very young.
Like, how was school, you know, since you were one of the earlier ones to kind of get integrated with general population? Was that something like, were kids pretty welcoming, or was there, did you get picked on or have to deal with anything like that?
I mean, it was sort of interesting, like early, like in like when I was really, really young, I thought my classmates were like very welcoming and very, you know, it didn't feel weird. They're always trying to help me out. And I have many fond memories of like, you know, just classmates like doing stuff for me in like the second grade and first grade, you know. Yeah. Then middle school, things got a little bit rougher, you know, as people are trying to figure themselves out, I guess, and sort of are beginning to compete against one another for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't, there wasn't anything too bad, really.
That's
yeah. Yeah.
It's that seems like that's usually the kind of the way it unfolds for most people. 'Cause I was the same way where, you know, I walk with a limp, and I always knew that I walked different than the other kids, but it was never in elementary school. It was never a bad thing. Like, it was just, right. Oh yeah, Jordan walks with a limp. That's not a big deal.
Right.
And, I remember there was never any insecurity. I was never self-conscious as a younger kid, but then getting into middle school and high school, kids start like saying stuff or pointing things out. And for the first time, that's when I started to like see my disability is like, oh, it's a flaw. It's not just something that's different. I'm like, that's a bad thing. And that like, you know, it took a while to kind of reverse that again and see it as like, it's not a flaw. It's just, you know, a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's a journey. Did you always have like, an interest in film or the arts, or like, how did you kind of start getting involved in that world?
So the film thing is pretty new. I was always a pretty creative kid, and I've drawn for a really long time, and I've painted, and I've written poetry and things like that up until, you know, well into adulthood. Like, you know, I've sold stuff, pieces of art here and there over the years. But film is new, and I've always loved film as like an audience member, but, it wasn't until a couple of years ago, I got some roommates who moved to Austin to be interns at something we have here called the Austin Film Society. And yeah, it's a really cool organization. It was founded by Richard Linklater and a few other people, I think about 20 years ago or something. But they have a theater here in Austin where they show really great art house kind of films. And they actually gave us a grant for art short a couple of years ago as well. But anyways, these guys moved to Austin to be interns there, and they moved into my house to be my caregivers. So the way my life kind of works is I have a house in Austin, and I always have a few people that live with me as roommates, some of whom work as my, you know, primary caregivers. And so they help get me into bed every night. They help get me out of bed, just basically all the physical tasks that I need assistance with. And I am usually pretty good friends with who these people are. And this was no different. And so, yeah, it was like their interest and their ambition that sort of allowed me to see making film as like a possible thing to do, you know, because up until that point, it just felt too big, too complicated. I had no idea even where to begin, you know?
Yeah. It's, I imagine too, like being a wheelchair user and having a disability, like it's getting better, but growing up, especially, there's not a lot of, there wasn't at least a lot of representation in that regard. So it probably, unfortunately for a lot of kids that have disabilities that grew up in our generation that didn't grow up seeing that, you know, it's not really like on their radar, like you said, as a possibility.
Right.
But was Steve Way, because I know he's in your film.
Yeah.
He kind of one of the things that, because his performance on Rami is great, but I love, I interviewed both him and Rami before. And one thing I talked to both of them about is how they portray living with disabilities, and it's never like a tropey thing, or you know, it's not like, oh, here's the token disabled character, you know, it's all just like real life, real stuff that people deal with, and they find the humor in it and they find the drama in it, but it's very authentic and organic, and it doesn't feel like forced in.
I do really respect how Rami presents disability in that sort of non-tropey, you know, just sort of rooted in reality kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really admire that about it. And it's something that I was shooting for in our short too.
Yeah. I mean, and you succeeded. I loved it. I watched it again this morning too. And, I, for one, like being someone that's so new to this world, but especially in front of the camera, like you killed it, man. Like you
thank your
performance was so like nuanced, and there are so many just quiet moments, just watching, you know, the frustration on your face or the resentment on your face or, you know, things like that, like really, really like difficult stuff that you were doing, but you made it look so easy. So I was like impressed as by your filmmaking, obviously, but your acting like really blew me away.
thank you.
Yeah,
it's funny. I mean, I was just talking the other day with somebody who I actually met at South By about potentially acting in something that we might write together. And to be honest, I'm a little bit nervous because the act of, yeah, that was the first time that I'd ever acted really, but it didn't feel that hard. One, because I wrote it with my roommate. And so I'd been thinking about it and just sort of like living it in my mind for so long that it felt very, you know, integrated. And yeah. I'd imagined the scene so many times, but then also it's just like, it's not that far from home, you know, like it's, you know, it's pretty easy to, I will say my character in the short is like a bigger asshole than me, but it's a lot of me, you know? So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in a way though, playing someone that's closer to you, is, you know, like part of it is easier because you have all of the experience and you have a lot to pull from, but
yeah,
it's also scary because you're being even more vulnerable. If you're playing a totally different character, then it's like, if someone doesn't like it, it's okay. They just didn't like the character. It's not you.
Right.
But if someone doesn't you when you're basically playing yourself, it's like, no, that's personal.
Yeah.
And that was me, like on the show that I'm on, they integrated my limp into my character. And there's the first time we acknowledge it is a scene where I'm basically talking to a friend about struggling with the fact that I had to be born this way, that I'm, you know, different from the others, that I'm not healed, like stuff like that. And it was stuff that like, I felt naked doing that because it was insecurities that I felt in my personal life that absolutely, I'm now saying out loud. So,
Was that a situation where, you were cast in the part and then they, you know, as you sort of worked with them and stuff, they sort of noticed this about you and then integrated it into the character?
It was, yeah. I got cast and the director had noticed, like when I walked out of the audition room, he was like, oh, he had a limp, but he didn't think anything of it. And he cast me. And then at that point, all of season one had been written. So they didn't have anything about that part of my character in season one. But then in between seasons, the director texted me and was like, hey, I'm thinking of, you know, including your disability into your character and making it like acknowledging it and making it part of it. And I was like, yeah, sure. But I was also nervous because that, especially as an actor, like, you know, it's a minor limp, but it was something that like I had been told enough by casting directors, like, hey, can you tone the limp down or can you try it again without the limp? And then, you know, had kids make comments in school. It was enough to where I felt so insecure about it and felt like I had to hide it. And like, you know, I don't let the casting director see you limp. And like, so when he wanted to make it part of it, it was scary at first, but that was kind of the catalyst for me being like, oh, it's not scary. You know, this is an asset. It's something that can make me stand out. And like,
yeah,
and it adds depth to the character. Like I don't have to be afraid of it anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
How did Act of God kind of come about? Like obviously the idea was close to some of the stuff that you've lived, but how did it all start unfolding? And then how did you had mentioned Steve, how did you end up getting him involved too?
Yeah. The short, like I said before, you know, some of my caregivers were involved in the film community before I was, and one of them, Parker Smith, he's been my caregiver for the past, you know, like 5 years or something like that. He recently moved out, but he's been with me for about 5 years before that. And he and I actually wrote and directed it together. And so basically it was just a process of, you know, we were just sort of kicking around ideas and we had noticed that, you know, disability sort of inherently has some odd situations, puts you in some odd situations, and so it has some comedic potential, you know. And he was kind of looking for something to, some subjects to make a short film about, and so he proposed, you know, what if we made a film together and I would act in it that sort of dealt with different aspects of our actual experience together. And so there's a character in the short, in the very first scene and in the very last scene, and he's this guy sort of showing up to get me out of bed in the morning. And he kind of, you know, we often joke that he sort of was Parker, like he was playing Parker in a way. Yeah. And so, yeah, it just kind of evolved out of our relationship. And then as far as Steve goes, I just bugged him on Instagram and bugged him on Facebook. He and I are part of a few disability groups on Facebook that are pretty big, like a few thousand people. And I noticed that he was on there, and I noticed, you know, he posted some things that I liked, and I'd obviously seen Rami. And I knew it was a long shot, but I thought it would be worth asking him if he would be a part of this. Because, it's really, casting a character with a disability is really difficult. It's really hard because there are actors with disabilities obviously out there, but I think they're fairly spread out, you know. Yeah. I mean, Steve ended up flying in from New Jersey, you know.
Wow.
And I live in Austin, Texas, and that's where we shot it. So, you know, it was very gracious of him to get involved. And yeah, it was great.
It's tricky to find actors with specific disabilities. Is that the one of the reasons that you played yourself in it? Or was that kind of the plan from the beginning?
It was sort of the plan in the beginning. I was always reluctant to act in it. Just because I'd never done it, it was sort of like a big unknown. Like, I could have screwed the whole thing up, like, really bad, you know. And I'm glad I don't think I did, but that was one reason I played myself. Kind of going back to what you were talking about with your experience on your show, I've been thinking about casting people with disabilities a lot because I have other projects in mind that will inevitably involve actors with disabilities, you know. And in thinking about it, it just made me realize that you really do have to modify the part pretty heavily once you find the right person, you know. Yeah. Because an actor with a disability could mean anything, you know. There are so many different variations of disability and what the actor is actually physically capable of doing that you can't just write it, you know. It's like a completely different process, I think.
Yeah.
And once Steve got involved in the project, you know, I rewrote his scenes a few times, and we went back and forth, me showing him like different options, like making sure he was like okay with stuff, you know, because I didn't want to write some joke that he would be uncomfortable with, or just like not, what if he couldn't physically do the action, you know?
Yeah.
Then obviously that won't work, you know? And so it does take a lot of work to figure that out, but it's an interesting process.
It is. And I think that it's when directors have like such, they're so firm in like their view of what the character should be, they're really limiting themselves because it's good to have a vision, but I feel like you need to leave some wiggle room for if you find someone that surprises you, that may not be exactly what you pictured, but
yeah,
can add a whole new layer to the character.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And yeah, I loved the dynamic between you and Steve too, by the way. It was really, really fun. The subject matter of it is kind of the struggle that people with disabilities have when it comes to like asking for help and being independent. And me, like, on, I empathized with it in the sense that, like, I've a metal rod, I had my whole back fused, and then my right hip, I have a bunch of metal plates and stuff in there. So because of all the metal, I have limited, like, flexibility, especially when it comes to, like, my right leg and bending down to my right foot. So I can't touch my right foot, and I can't tie that shoe, obviously. So even something as small as that, just having, like, my wife tie my shoe when we're out in public, or a friend that's with me, there's times where it's like, I'll put myself in such an uncomfortable, like, position on the ground, like off to the side somewhere, just so I could try to tie it. Because I feel there's like a little bit of guilt. There's a little bit of pride. There's all these emotions involved when it comes to, like, asking for help. But the, like your film shows, usually people want to help, and they, you know, they don't mind. It's not like if someone asked one of us for help, I know we wouldn't mind. If we were able to help them, we would. So, yeah. Is that something, though, you still struggle with at all, you know, asking for help, or struggling with, like, independence and what that means to you?
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. You know, I think I'm pretty good at it, asking for help. I used to give talks before COVID to families and kids with SMA, and that was something that I really emphasized, is that asking for help and sort of getting the assistance that you need to, you know, survive and just get through the day, it is a skill, you know, and it's a skill that you have to actively work on, because it's not easy, you know. It's vulnerable, you know. I think everybody can relate to that. It's very vulnerable asking, you know, somebody, whether it's a stranger or a friend, you know, can you do X for me? Because it opens you up to the possibility that they might say no. They could say no, and then you have to deal with that, you know. It doesn't happen very often, but it's certainly possible, and that's what I feel like it's this sort of reservation, and you can get into this state where you don't want to reach out in that way, you know. It just feels like too much. I have times, you know, when it is harder than others, and just managing care in general, especially in a situation like mine, where, you know, I rely on these people to get me up and put me to bed every night. Like, I really cannot live without them. It's a lot of work managing them, and, like, finding the right people and finding people that you get along with. And I've been very fortunate in that regard over the years. But yeah, it's tough, you know, for sure.
Yeah. I think that I liked what you said about, like, that it's vulnerable, because it is. But the thing that I've found, and it's one of the reasons I started this podcast, once I was vulnerable in that show, and then that led to this article that Deadline wrote about it, which was another level of vulnerability. But then those two things opened up the doors to other people being vulnerable with me, and, like, sending me messages or comments or emails, and being like, hey, you know, I appreciate you opening up about being bullied, because my daughter has scoliosis and is bullied every day right now. So it meant a lot to her. And, you know, stuff like that, where it was like, it kind of shows everyone that they're not alone, and that everyone needs help sometimes. And even beyond just asking for help, being vulnerable in any way, whether it's sharing your feelings or, you know, creating art, like acting is being vulnerable. And all of that, I feel, helps build more meaningful, intimate relationships, which is, you know, what life is really all about. So,
right. It's, I mean, in the short, there's a scene, a pretty long scene with me sitting on the toilet. So, you know,
yeah,
I'm all about the vulnerability.
Right. Yeah, no. And I love that you didn't shy away from any of that. That was, it made it feel more real, and, like, seeing people in those situations, like, it you care about them. Like, it's relatable. I think that was awesome.
And that's, like, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to make it short in the first place, and one of the reasons I got excited about this idea is, you know, a lot of people think about disability, if they think about it at all, as kind of this terrible thing, you know. And part of the reason they think that it's so terrible is it's unimaginable to them. They don't know how it works just mechanically, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of important for me to be a little graphic at some points, just to show people, like, this is how you do it, you know? This is what, you know, my life and what many other people's lives are like. And it's okay, you know?
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Right. It sometimes sucks, but it's definitely not the end of the world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. That kind of is a perfect segue to my next question. I was wondering what other misconceptions or like false assumptions that you've noticed that people have had about you or about the disabled community in general.
I mean, I think the biggest one is people just don't expect very much out of people with disabilities. They don't think that they're capable of very much. And, you know, that's an issue of representation for sure. Another reason I was excited to make this film. I mean, other ones, you know, the tropes, the worst sort of tropes are like the sort of inspiration porn kind of angles.
Yeah.
Where, you know, people sort of position people with disabilities as these heroes for just kind of getting through the day, you know?
Yeah.
And I get it, you know, because like I was saying, you know, I do admit that it is difficult at times, but that doesn't make you a hero, you know? And it feels weird. Like, why would you be inspired by that? You know, I don't really connect with that.
It's almost like, oh, look, like someone has it worse than me, but they're able to have a positive attitude. So, you know, right. I can't. Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's
and the attitude, like you said, like the idea that disabled people sort of should have this positive attitude, you know, that is a particularly toxic one.
Yeah.
And so that I think Steve Way plays with this on Rami a lot. And I was definitely trying to play with it on our short. Where, you know, it's kind of fun to portray a somewhat unlikable disabled character, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a delicate balance, you know, because audiences will turn on you pretty quickly if you're too sour. But yeah. Just trying to find that balance between sour and sweet is a fun game to play.
Yeah. I love that too. I think that's one of my favorite things about Rami and your short is that both of you are kind of your characters at least are kind of assholes, but then it's also probably a little therapeutic getting to express some things that maybe both of you feel on the inside sometimes, but you don't really say or act out. So I bet that's kind of, it's almost like whenever you play a villain. I got to play a villain recently and it was really fun getting to be like mean and like slimy and stuff, because it's something that, you know, we all have anger in us or we all have bitterness or resentment. So it's fun to kind of let that out every now and then.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. Acting wise, it was also really difficult because I do feel all these feelings and they're definitely in me some of the time. But to have to be an asshole all day long was like pretty hard.
Yeah. At least you were doing it with friends though. So they know the real you.
It was really fun, but it was very difficult. It made me, I have a much greater respect for actors in general now.
Well, I mean, you genuinely like killed it. I was so impressed. But what is, you've mentioned like a couple other ideas and things in the pipeline, like what's next for you? Do you have anything else that you can announce or talk about yet?
I mean, nothing's announceable. I have many, many ideas and I'm actively writing a few of them right now. I talked to a lot of people during South By because, to be honest, making this short was the most satisfying and fun creative experience I've ever had, and I've had many, many creative experiences, and I've worked in lots and lots of different mediums over the years, but this was definitely the best. And so I was talking to people about like, how do I get involved in the industry, because some of the entry level positions aren't exactly accessible to me. It's not like I can go, you know, be on somebody's crew or anything like that. Maybe do some producing or something, but
yeah,
it's tricky. And it's tricky for anybody figuring out how to get involved in the industry. And the advice I most often got was just write and have things ready to show people, you know? And so all my ideas involve disability in one way or another. A lot of them involve caregiving and just sort of because those are often, you know, some of the biggest relationships in my life, and for good reason, you know? But yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Once you get to, once you start like going into active development with them, or, you know, or starting to cast, let me know, because even just doing this podcast, and I'm sure you have plenty of your own connections as well, but like just doing this podcast, having connected with a lot of people within the disability community that are working in film as actors, it's been really cool to see, one, like how tight knit it is. Like there's an actor named Nick Nowicki who is a dwarf, and he was on the podcast once talking about how like all of the things he's involved with. And then I talked to RJ Mitty from Breaking Bad, and like all of them know each other, and they're all connected, and they're kind of in the same circles supporting one another. So it's a cool community. Like the more I've been able to kind of integrate myself into it. And there's also, they're based in Austin, actually. Have you heard of Clark Geyer Casting?
No.
So
no, I haven't.
They've been very passionate about casting actors with disabilities and roles that aren't specifically for disabled characters. So they're always looking to bring in actors with disabilities for any role, regardless of what the script says. They're big advocates. So they might be a good resource as well to kind of find actors that fit what you're looking for.
Yeah. I reached out to a number of casting agencies whenever we were working on, Act of God. And, it was tough that some of them got back to me. Many didn't, you know?
Yeah.
And, the ones that did, they often just said, you know, we don't have anybody for you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was so difficult at some points that I had some versions of the script where in the scene that Steve is in, I basically come into the office and I find that my boss has hired another person with a disability. And that's sort of the joke and what we explore in that scene. But in some versions of the script, we had that person before Steve was part of the show, you know, part of it, played by an able-bodied person in a wheelchair, which I understand is very controversial, you know, but it was sort of like a cheeky joke, like something that was directed, written by a person with a disability and his caregiver. If we cast an able-bodied person for that role, it might have been too spicy. It might not have gone over well, you know what I mean? But it was just like, we were so desperate. I was like, I don't know what to do, you know?
I want to go back, because that reminded me, there was, you had mentioned one of the misconceptions being like not really expecting much of people with disabilities or thinking that they're capable of much. That reminded me, have you seen the movie Run on Hulu?
No, I haven't.
It's really good. It has Sarah Paulson and, Kira Allen is the actress that plays her daughter, and she's a wheelchair user. She became disabled in her teens, and she stars in this thriller, and it's the first like feature film thriller, like big budget thriller that stars a wheelchair user. And it's kind of like a home invasion, or not really a home invasion thing, but like her mom, the Munchausen, you know, like that where,
oh yeah,
is that the word, where
Munchausen by proxy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like her mom is keeping her, you know, sick at home and kind of, doing some messed up stuff, but it's her trying to escape, you know, her mother's clutches. And, it's a really intense movie, but I interviewed her on here, and that's one thing she talked about, being someone who was able-bodied for most of her life, and then in high school becoming disabled. She said it was so weird seeing people's like expectations just disappear for her, where it was like, oh wait, you still want to act? Like you still want to go to college? Like you're still going to move out? Like, and it was,
oh yeah,
such a weird shift. And it was so interesting hearing that perspective from someone who's like had both ends of it.
My parents recently ran into one of my elementary school teachers, like I think it was like first grade or even kindergarten or something like that, and we didn't really like this person back whenever she was my teacher.
Yeah.
She was pretty problematic, and they are, you know, saying, oh, Spencer's done this, he's directed this short, he's living in Austin, he just got married. And the woman literally said, oh wow, you know, I just, you know, you wouldn't think he would amount to much. She wow. literally, like, out loud.
To your parents.
To my parents. yeah, so that's, yes, I'm very familiar with that.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I can't imagine, like, having that mindset. It's,
yeah.
It's crazy. But,
yeah.
Like you said, I mean, visibility and like inclusivity, like letting people that are in this community have those opportunities, is the way to kind of start shifting that mindset, because like,
absolutely.
Just showing that like, hey, people like this exist and they can do, like, it may look different when they do something, but they're capable, they can do things. They're not just like these helpless, you know, fragile little creatures.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's it's really interesting. I am quite aware that I am just very fortunate. I was very fortunate to have the parents that I had, you know, and they were always they always expected a lot of me, you know, growing up, and not too much, but they just expected me to have a life and have interests and engage in the community, you know. And I am very aware that, you know, a lot of people with disabilities don't grow up with that expectation, you know, and a lot of parents listen to the teachers, like, you know, my former teacher who had low expectations of me, and they sort of, you know, adopt those expectations as their own. And it's really unfortunate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Like, especially because luckily my mom was the same way, was the most encouraging, supportive person in the world. But I have had family members and loved ones and friends that didn't have really as high of expectations, and would try to persuade me to like move away from like my goals of like being an actor and things like that. You know, they'd say things like, you know, it's hard enough to make it in this business, but if you have, you know, a limp, it's going to be a lot harder. Maybe you could, you know, do this instead and like do community theater. Cause, and in their mind, it's like, we got to, you know, I want to protect you. I don't want, you know, failure sucks. But the thing that the fact that they were expecting failure, can be tough to deal with, you know, emotionally sometimes. But, I think that, yeah, it's like, I'm glad that you're doing what you're doing. And there's a lot of other people in the industry and all industries, with disabilities that are constantly proving people wrong. So, it's important, but, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, before I let you go. Is there anywhere, I have one last question after this, but, is there anywhere, or when can people, like the general public, watch Act of God?
I am not sure right now, because we're still, we have been accepted to a number of other festivals, and they don't want it posted online anywhere. And we're actually still applying to festivals.
Gotcha.
And so we're still kind of in our festival run at the moment. I definitely think in 2023, we have a website, actofgodfilm.com, where you can sign up for updates and things like that. And we'll definitely, once it finally is publicly available online, we'll blast that whole list and let everybody know. So it might be a while, but if you're interested in seeing it, you can sign up, and eventually I will send you a link, I promise.
Nice. Okay. So lastly, since we talk a lot about you know, insecurities or things that we have struggled with, I always end on a positive note. And I ask all my guests, what is the thing that you love most about yourself?
Interesting. The thing I love most about myself. I mean, Yeah, I think it definitely has to do with my creativity and kind of I've always had the ability to kind of really get absorbed in a project, you know, and really just give it everything I got, you know. And yeah, I really appreciate that about myself.
Yeah, I appreciate your creativity too, because you clearly have a gift. So I can't wait to see what you do next, man.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Of course. And I hope we get to work together one day. But either way,
hell yeah,
we'll definitely stay in touch and keep at it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. No, that would be amazing. I have many, many projects that I'm trying to work through right now and just get some scripts together and everything. Yeah. But that would be amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me know. I'm down. I'm just a few hours from Austin, so I'll come down there anytime.
Cool. Hey, thanks, Jordan.
No problem. Take care, man.
Cool. Bye.
So that was my conversation with Spencer. He's a really cool guy. I'm really glad that we were able to connect, and I genuinely can't wait to see what he does next. I'm excited for all of you as well to see Act of God whenever and wherever it ends up being available. But I will be sure to post about that on my story at The Jordan Ross and on the What's Your Limp story at What's Your Limp whenever it is available. So be sure to follow me on both of those so you can get updates on all of that good stuff. Now is the time for me to announce next week's guest. So next week, I have a conversation with actor, producer, and etiquette expert, Zoe Yuman. So Zoe is someone that I met. We share a publicist, and we have done a couple of other things together, like Instagram lives and stuff like that. She's kind of carved out a really interesting role for herself in teaching proper etiquette within the entertainment industry, how to stand out by having the right etiquette, how to interact with others on set or not interact with others on set, knowing when is the right time to interact and what's appropriate behavior, what's not, because those are things that aren't really taught to actors. You know, you're taught the emotional stuff and how to listen to your scene partner and be present in the moment and all of that good stuff. But you don't really think about the do's and the don'ts of being on set until you're on set and you learn. You know, it's like baptism by fire. So she helps young actors and industry professionals prepare for that. And I think what she's doing is awesome. She also has a really moving story. She's had a lot of adversity and difficulties in her life. So we get into all of that. So be sure to tune in next week to hear my conversation with Zoe. Like I said, give me a follow at The Jordan Ross and at What's Your Limp. Also give Spencer a follow. You can find him at S Cook Says. That's S-C-O-O-K-S-A-Y-S. And give him a follow and show him some love too. But in the meantime, remember to be good to yourself, love your limp, and y'all have a good one. Now enjoy this original outro music by Devin Levi. Give him a follow at Devin Levi Music, and I will talk to y'all next week.